Hello and croeso to episode 120 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Joining me this week is the one and only Tommy Cowse. Cowse, how are you?
Yeah, a bit knackered, as always, right? I mean, you will insist on having this podcast recorded on a Monday, won't you?
Always.
Yeah. to be honest, though, I was driving to Mansfield on Saturday, and I feel equally as hungover on the Monday as I would if I had had 25 pints. So yeah, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. There's probably something in that, but I'm not the man who's going to have to diagnose it. Anyway...
Here's a man who can.
Yeah. I'm back from his travels with Adrian Phillips. Is Rodri Davis. Rod, how's things? How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I've come back with some sort of respiratory calamity, as usually happens on these trips. Yeah, non-COVID origin, though, so it's all right. It's usually the case. Have a bit of fun and japes abroad and come back with the consequences, isn't it? So,
yeah, chain smoking, yeah. See. Or vaping.
No smoking. No, the snooze these days, like the fresh footballer, isn't it?
Yeah. Just wreck your gums instead of your lungs.
Yeah, mouth cancer or some dark kind of ailment.
Good stuff. Yeah. Right, let's get on to the football this week. We'll do a bit of Cymru Premier chat this week, mainly because it was a massive weekend at the bottom of the table. And it has made me laugh that since Gwyl was on a couple of weeks ago and spoke about how Aber are going to need a lot to stay up this season, bordering on a miracle. They've gone and won 2 on a bounce, which is, you know, testament to ABBA for their complete commitment to making me look like a massive twat as much as possible. But Kaus, they beat Barry 1-0. 91st minute winner, I think it was. It's a huge result and it very much gives them a good chance now that, you know, they could be the team to survive.
Yeah, I think I said it last week, though, Ryan. I mean, I do expect the teams down the bottom to put together mini runs now every now and then. I probably didn't expect ABBA to pick up like they have in recent times, but
no.
I think you know, as I said last week, mate, I think it's when the split happens, that's the acid test. That's going to be when we'll really see who's most likely to stay up, but. But yeah, certainly at the moment, it's looking pretty grim for Colwyn Bay. And obviously, as I'm sure we'll get on to, the Pontypridd situation's right up in the air, isn't it? So interesting times down the bottom, mate.
Yeah, obviously, it is a bit worrying for Colwyn Bay. Like you said, I think from here on out, we're going to have teams that go on mini runs and then bad runs. And it'll all level out and probably go down to the last day, as it tends to do. But yeah, what's going on with Colwyn Bay at the moment? Obviously, I know you probably haven't had a chance to go and see them recently, but, you know, speaking to people, you know, they haven't really kicked on after a bit of a promising spell. I think it was late September, I think they had a couple of victories, but they haven't really been able to build on that, have they?
No, they haven't. I personally go back to the summer, and I've mentioned it a couple of times. I don't think the recruitment was quite good enough. I think they had a number of players in mind and they just missed out. I think Carnarvon pipped them to a couple of players. I think it's been really tough. I think it'd be interesting to see if they throw a few quid at it in January. I know for a fact that Colwyn Bay aren't a club that are blessed with massive pots of money to spend, but certainly I do expect them to strengthen. But, you know, let's be honest about it. I think we'll probably see a lot of the teams trying to strengthen down there because that drop down, it's what everyone wants to avoid. It's such an obvious thing to say, but, you know, it's tough. When you go down to the second tier with that only one promotion place back up, it's really tough. So that trapdoor is what they'll all desperately want to avoid. And... just looking at it, it has been poor in recent times with the Bay. I mean, you know, it was a really, really bad result for him on Saturday against Haverford West. It's grim times. But I do still think they'll put a run together at some point. But it'll probably have to happen pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, obviously, like, you know, it's easy to say this now until everyone plays each other again. That, like you said, it is the real acid test. And now there is this looming shadow that is Pontypridd, who were very much in the relegation mix regardless. They've had a really bad run of form. And as much as obviously we don't want to be speaking about off the pitch matters again in the Cymru Premier, you know, this is happening and this we have to speak about it because you can't ignore it. Ponty are up for 18 separate charges. I think it's a mixture of stuff like ineligible players, contractual issues, registration issues, unpaid players. It's looking pretty bleak for them. I'm expecting a huge points deduction at some point. We saw Connors Key get 18 points a couple of seasons ago, which was six games featuring an ineligible player. So that's, you know, if we're looking at 3 points for each of the charges, someone will do the maths for me because I can't be fucked at the moment. I think it's 54 points. 18 times 3. Anyone want to challenge me on that?
10 times 3 is 30. That's as far as I can get.
Yeah. And so 20 times 3 is 60. Take away 6.
3 times 2 is 6. I
yeah.
know that.
Yeah, it's 54.
54, yeah. So, you know, if it is as simple as 3 points per charge, that's 54 yeah. points deducted. So they ain't getting...
There was us a few weeks ago saying no one's going to be cut adrift this season. Yeah. Isn't it? It looks like, so, yeah.
I think it'd be good going if anyone got the minus 54, you know, got back in the game with that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming TNS would stay up if they had a minus 54 points deduction in normal seasons. Anyway, that's besides the point. But yeah, it's bleak for Ponty. And I fear for them long term. If it happens and they go down and the money dries up, because, you know, Gwyl made it a really good point a couple of weeks ago when we were sort of talking about the rumours. And he said, because of the nature of the club's recent history and the way they've pushed any community aspect of the club away, because they're now playing in Dreforest, you know, they haven't really got that local support that can rally around them and support them. I think that if they go down and the money goes, I don't know if they'll exist in 3 to 5 years. You know, we've seen it so many times before. Mm-hmm. Kaus, what do you make of the whole situation?
Yeah, I think that's not a bad point that he's made there. I think as soon as you take a club out of the community in which it should exist, like Pontypridd that playing in Treforest, which I believe is, what, about 7 miles away, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's not even close, really, is it? So you've got a problem. You've got a problem. You might do okay in successful times, but, yeah, if the club goes down, why would someone from Pontypridd go and support a club that doesn't even play in the town? So, no one likes to see a club struggling, but it's, you know, the way the route that that club has gone down in recent times, I don't think is sustainable. Certainly the crowds will tell you that. Well, they certainly haven't appealed to the people in Treforest by the sound of it, have they? So they're not really appealing to anyone at the moment. So, you know, I'm sorry if I sound a bit harsh, but it's not a good situation there. And yeah, I would worry about the future of that club. And especially when there actually is a football club in Pontypridd as well. So, you know, people are going to support that club, aren't they? You know, and that's just natural. So, yeah, it'd be awful to see a club go to the wall or anything like that. I hope it doesn't come to that. But I do fear for their future, especially if they go down.
Yeah, obviously, at the moment, they're just charges. There's no decision on them and they're challenging it. They quite ardently came out with a statement saying, you know, we refute these challenges. We're gonna take them as far as we can. So who knows what will happen? But, you know, there's no smoke without fire with these things. The FAW are pretty good at... I don't think there's many clubs that have ever won appeals on stuff like this because it's quite black and white, you know, for better or worse. But I must say, you know, after being involved at Pen y Bont and sort of helping out there with media and sort of seeing how things work, what is difficult, I think, and I think this is why we keep seeing stuff like this happen across the leagues. Obviously, Pen y Bont had their issues last year with the subs rule. Airbus had their issues with the subs rules last year, and obviously Connors Key in the past with ineligible players, is the FAW are trying to professionalise the values and the admin and that sort of thing. But it's being done by volunteers who are sort of doing it aside from their day jobs and stuff. So they, you're asking a lot from volunteers. You know, you're asking for a professional standard from volunteers, which I don't think is sustainable long term, and that's why mistakes happen. So I think it's something to look at. You know, whether the FAW help fund an admin person for each football club going forward, I think that will help up the standards. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I think if we keep going the way we're going, you know, a semi-professional league with professional standards, which we need, because I you know, I think we've got to have good standards, otherwise it just becomes glorified Sunday league. I also think clubs need help as well, because there's no coincidence that this keeps happening. Anyway, back onto the football. If Pondy do get their points deducted, I think it'll be one spot between Colwyn Bay, Barry and Aber. And yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. At the top, though, TNS are now 9 points ahead after the Nomads surprisingly lost 3-1 to Cardiff Met. Rod, it's going to take a miracle at this point for it to even be a title race, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've said all along that whoever's going to be up there competing with TNS is going to have to be almost perfect, and, you know, losing the odd games enough to pretty much lose you the title in the leagues. Unfortunately, I think the way it was going, they were keeping up quite a good pace, but they've had a couple of draws in a row,
yeah,
and that really kind of, you saw the gap grow a little bit there, and then you thought they can't really afford anything else now, which is really unfortunate because it's just turned November. But that's the way TNS are. They're relentless, and yeah, unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. We all want to see a title race, and the sooner they can become a more regular thing, the better for the league and the interest of the top as well. Because now you're just, the main interest is the bottom, isn't it? And yeah, the European places, but yeah, it would be nice to have a consistent title kind of race between two or three, even if it's the same two or three sides, as long as there's kind of a bit of intrigue at the top. But yeah, that's just the nature of the beast of TNS, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, 6-1 win in midweek. This is Colwyn Bay. 1-1 at halftime. It's just sort of, you know, yeah, you just cannot, as soon as you think you're going to get,
they got gears they can go through, isn't it?
Like, yeah, exactly. 53 goals in total this season. 11 conceded. Pretty astounding stuff. And no doubt they'll shit the bed when it comes to Europe in the summer, which is the most frustrating thing of it all. Can't even do that for us. House, obviously the other talking point in the league is the race for the top six, which is getting quite interesting now. You know, assuming TNS and Connors Key are pretty much guarantees at this point. I think Connors Key do have a bit of breathing space between themselves and third. Obviously, Cardiff Met now in third. You've got Newtown, Hynarfon, Bala and Penobonton. Maybe even Haverford West, so, you know, if they go on a good run in the mix. How do you see that shaping up? Who do you reckon the top six will be at this point? I think, are we about 6 or 7 games from the split at this point?
Yeah, we're not far off. I'm surprised. I hadn't had a look at the table for a couple of weeks, and you know, see Cardiff Met, it really climbed up there. Newtown, no surprises there. I mean, you know, they're one of the steadiest teams in the top flight, really, aren't they? I think maybe Penobonton. I mean, you know, it'd be interesting. I think we had this discussion, didn't we? I can't remember if it was on the pod or off it, but there's a very real situation in which some clubs might want to finish seventh and not want to finish in that top six, which, you know, that's something that that's not really discussed elsewhere. And, you know, I can understand why teams don't want to do it. But yeah, just in terms of who's going to make that top six. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Nomads are going to be nailed on there. I do expect Newtown to be in there as well. I think Carnarvon might drop out, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've had a brilliant start to the season. But yeah, I just wonder whether they've got the squad depth. Well, I don't wonder. I don't think they have got the squad depth to maybe sustain it throughout the whole season. You know, I think when they've got their first 11 out, they're a match for anyone. But I think once you sort of skim off the surface, they struggle a little bit. But, you know, hey, they've proved me wrong so far this season. I think I had them down for 10th. So, you know, they're definitely going to finish higher than 10th, put it that way. It's going to be entertaining. That's, you know, but for me, I've got to tell you, I mean, I'm again, it's like Groundhog Day. I'm looking at the bottom for my entertainment for the Cymru Prem this year.
Yeah. Interesting you said Carnarvon. They're such a weird team because they went and got battered by Connors Quay. Then they went and battered Cardiff Met, who were having a really good run of things. And then lost 4-2 to Penobont, you know, who obviously Penobont, 4 defeats in a row, a lot of injuries. You know, Venables was back in the team. A couple of others returned. So I think they were very much out for blood after a bad run. But I didn't expect them to go up to Carnarvon and score 4. You know, it was only a Sean Bradley goal in the 94th minute that made it 4-2, which sort of 4-2 sounds a lot better than 4-1, especially at home. So, yeah, strange. But I think Ballard are the one that could drop out for me. I think Penobont have enough talent, as long as they keep everyone fit, to get results. And I know they've still got Colwyn Bay to play, and they've still got Ponty to play again, and a couple of the other sides who are down there, Barry as well. I think they've got enough in the tank to get points. And I don't know if Bala are good enough. I don't know. It'll be an interesting to see how it all fleshes out. That Christmas period is always massive because there's so many games in such a short space of time. Right, on to the Football League. Pretty boring afternoon for the Welsh sides in the Championship. 2-0 draws for Cardiff and Swansea. So less said about that, the better. I don't really know what more we can say. Newport beats Oldham in the FA Cup. Wrexham beat Mansfield in the FA Cup, which is great. Newtown play Barnet in the next round. Wrexham play Yeovil. Cowes, quick note on Wrexham progressing in the FA Cup. That is good, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, it sounds like a welcome to the German Das Bild podcast. I was very impressed with Wrexham on Saturday. Wrexham were excellent, thoroughly deserved to win. Probably should have been 3 or 4 nil up in the first 25 minutes. So, yeah, it was brilliant. But, great draw. Second round, like I said to you before we came on, you know, second round draw, really, you just want the best, most winnable tie at home that you can get. And we've got that, so you've got to be happy. Fingers crossed, beat Yeovil and get a good draw in the third round. Yeah. Nice day out, hopefully.
Cardiff at home for Wrexham, that'd be nice.
Oh, nice, that'd be nice.
To the racecourse.
Can't wait for me. I'd quite enjoy that.
Yeah, that would be quite shit, mind, going on a away day in your big FA Cup game to a ground and a city that you go out in fairly regularly.
Yeah, I suppose.
There's like Pop World.
Yeah.
I was going to say I've never gone into Pop World in a Wrexham shirt before, so that'd be nice.
Yeah. Club stuff this week, pretty bog standard, so we won't dwell too much on that. But I do want to mention the upcoming games next weekend, or the weekend after next, which is obviously the Armenia away game and Turkey home. I'm getting very excited now. We go to Armenia next Thursday. I think, Rod, you might go ahead on the Wednesday, which is lovely and exciting for everyone involved. The squad is announced Wednesday morning, so by the time you're listening, you'll probably have already seen the squad. I'm not expecting too many changes from October. I do have an inkling, I don't know if it's a Cardiff City blue-tinted glasses inkling, that Colwill might make it, but I think with how big the under-21 campaign is shaping up to be, I don't think it's necessary he's in the squad, because if he isn't going to play a big part in the starting 11 and the 4 or 5 expected subs, I think he's probably best served in the 21s. But I can imagine he might be someone who's on the periphery because he's starting to get a bit more game time for Cardiff and playing well. Rod, over to Cymru Leeds corner. The Leeds boys are thriving at the moment and it's very encouraging ahead of next weekend.
Yeah, very encouraging. It's like repeating myself, but just having them three boys playing regular football at the top end of a championship and playing such a key role is a beautiful thing for Cymru, really. So, I think Joe Roden had a bit of a scare injury-wise, but he was back playing Friday night, so that's that's a positive, because I did see hamstring injury. My first thought was, shit, Wales game's coming up soon, so and we can't afford definitely not Ampadu or Rodon really to be out for them games. Dan James is in that position where we do have more depth, but yeah, you want them all fit and firing. So let's hope all the key players come through the last weekend now, and yeah, we're almost at full strength then. Yeah, by the looks of things at the moment, I think, without the obvious Ramsey issues, but
yeah. Yeah, I don't know about Brennan Johnson.
Brennan Johnson's been back playing, I think.
He's back, is he?
I think he's back last weekend. I could be wrong.
Spurs are playing.
I don't watch much Premier League anymore.
Yeah, Spurs are playing tonight as we talk. So I think, I don't know, the team won't be out yet. It's too early for that. But yeah, I mean, elsewhere, squad-wise, there is a few lads not playing. Nico Williams, I think. I saw someone on Twitter, only 31 minutes of football since the last international break. He first seems to be well out of... fancy at Bournemouth. Ben Davis, I think, started for Spurs last weekend, but that was his first start in a while. But I don't think there's too much to be worried about, is there, Kaus, in terms of these lads not playing, because we saw it in October and they all did a good job anyway.
Yeah, I mean, given the choice, you'd want to see them playing regular. But I mean, sometimes, you know, I know you can't beat match fitness, but sometimes it's nice to have these lads... you know, nice and fresh as well. You know, they're not, they won't be absolutely knackered having played, you know, three games in the space of 7 days coming into an international break. So, yeah, maybe they'll come in and be nice and fresh. And fingers crossed, we'll get the best out of them. Yeah, it's starting to feel a bit nervous about these games now. They're absolutely huge, aren't they? So, you know, we're going to need everyone available near enough.
I'm stupidly confident. I don't know if it's naive, but I'm feeling
it is naive. Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just excited for it. I think we're going to win in Armenia, and it'll set up that Turkey game. And I think we'll do it. I can't see why.
It's the Armenia one that worries me, to be honest. I'm not worried about the Turkey one.
Yeah, the thought I've had is if we win in Armenia, there's problems with my flight home. you don't want to miss that game on Tuesday night then if it's all set up for us to qualify. But
I think you're right.
Like Kaus said, yeah.
The Armenia one, because I think at home, when we need to deliver, we can deliver.
Yeah.
It's just setting up that game, isn't it? Is going to be difficult. We've done it before, that Georgia game in 2018. I know we didn't win against Ireland in the return game. But, you know, Tom Lawrence scoring out in Georgia.
Yeah.
I think we can do it. I don't think they kicked on as much as we thought they may have in June. I think they caught us on a bad night. Hopefully, Paige has learned from it. I don't know. Maybe that's my naivety.
I think we made Armenia look really good that night. I think Paige has learned from that. We were quite tactically naive. We sort of we went for it a bit too much. I mean, you know, I think we probably underestimated them as well. But they just hit us on the break.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Literally every shot they took went in that night. So that doesn't happen too often, does it? So we just got to be a bit more robust defensively out there, and you know, be on form ourselves in front of goal. Because yeah, that was the big thing for me. It seemed that every shot they took that night was going in, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Kind of.
Yeah.
One of them nights. So, I can't see a repeat of that. But
that game felt like every game at the Millennium Stadium between 2004 and 2010.
Yeah.
It was a bit like the, we spoke about it last week, didn't we, Kaus? The Wales women get against Germany conceding 35 shots. And we said, you know, in some cases, you concede four shots, but you concede them all and lose 4-0.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and it was one of those games, isn't it, where we just conceded every time they went forward. And we weren't clinical enough. So, fingers crossed. I'm positive. So I'm bringing the positivity. I don't know about you.
I'm positive. Don't be too confident.
Categorically telling you now, book your flights to Germany.
Fuck's sake.
Ryan March will not be represent us. Ryan March will be providing refunds from the Alternative Wales kitty.
Keep your receipts.
Christ, there's no money in that kitty. And on that note, by issue 11, Oh yeah, award nominated issue 11. Ooh, so bloody nice. Bloody get it out, get it in your baskets or whatever. Right, before we move on, should mention last week, after last week's podcast, Wales women lost 2-1 to Denmark. It was an improvement from the Germany game. Granger changed to 5 at the back, which was encouraging, made some changes to the personnel, and it was a bit more structured. I don't think anyone was expecting to win in Denmark, but a better performance and encouraging ahead of Iceland and Germany at home in a couple of weeks. Right then, that is all the football for this week, I think. Phillips is still on his European tour. I'm sure he'll tell us all about it when he's home. You may have sent me a voice note by the time you're hearing this. You may hear that next. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, is he alive? Hard to tie down. Is he alive? Yeah.
I certainly didn't see him when I came back from being with him. So
I
heard he was catching a gas train somewhere in Eastern Europe. He was on a gas train.
Yeah, I've heard those rumors. Yeah,
I've never heard of a gas powered train before. That's a new one. But Phillips is nothing but a surprising man, and I'm sure we'll hear about his antics if he's still alive at some point.
Whatever transport he's on, I'm sure it's hugely detrimental to the ozone layer.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Good stuff. Right, we'll be back for part two and our game and your questions next. Welcome back to part two of the pod. We'll start, as usual, with our game. Gone for a rogue game again. I do like rogue games. It's a friendly 29th of February 2012. It was famous because it was the Gary Speed Memorial match, but the football was very much second fiddle that day as Wales lost 1-0 to Costa Rica. This is an interesting one to see how far we get, and I'm not expecting much. House, you won last week, didn't you? Incredibly.
I certainly did, mate. I certainly did. I'm going to try and do the double for the first time ever.
Yeah, so you get to flip the coaster of doom today. Do you want the cork side?
Oh,
or
it's
the
a coaster, is it?
Coaster today, yeah.
It's usually an old old coin from like the Boer War or something like that, usually.
Yeah,
so
something like that, yeah.
I was hoping you were going to select the fixture for more recent, and one of Gauss's go-to trio of players would once again.
Yeah, that's what you do now. Look at all the games Conor Roberts has kept playing.
It's absolutely ridiculous, and I can only come to the conclusion that he's doing it on purpose.
It was a beautiful mental collapse on your behalf when Conor Roberts was in it. Yeah.
What are the two options on the coaster, right?
You got the cork bottom or the pattern top.
Christ. I go for the cork bottom, please. Cork bottom. I don't know why that's funny.
Oh, no, it's the pattern top. Rod, do you want to go first or second?
I can go first because I think I've got one player I can nail, and that's about it.
Okay, three each. Best of three, otherwise a sudden death.
What game did you say?
Wales 0, Costa Rica 1, 29th of February 2012. It was the Gary Speed Memorial game. Technically Chris Coleman's first game in charge, although I don't think he officially was on the bench that night. I'm not sure. I remember Oshin Roberts was. Rod, kick us off.
Well, I know Bellamy started, and that's all I've got then, I think.
Yep. Good. He walked out with speed, sons, didn't he? Very nice. Kaus?
Yeah, Bellamy was my go-to man as well. I'm going to go for Sam Ricketts.
No. It's got to be one of Bellamy's last Wales games, this. I think he retired.
Bellamy's last Wales game was Belgium.
Belgium, wasn't it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He did a whole 18 months
Harry Wilson's
after this.
First game.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Rod, over to you. 1-0 to you.
Ramsey.
No. This could be an all-time thinker, yeah. Kaus.
What?
I'm going to go for Conor Robert. No, I'm only joking.
take his first answer, please.
Do I go for Myhill or Hennessy here? I go for Hennessy.
Incorrect.
Fuck off.
Rod. You can win it with this one.
You might have.
Incorrect.
No. God, no. I thought it was one of them to eat as well.
House.
Who the fuck was in goal then? Glenn Garner? For Christ's sake.
Glenn Leatherin.
You've got to get this to win it, because otherwise Rod will win 1-0, which is in the most pathetic
Gary,
game of all time.
Gary Sprake's last appearance for Wales.
Lee Richmond Roos was between the sticks. I'm going to go for Ashley Williams.
Correct. 1-1. Right. Sudden death. Here we go. Rod.
Chris Gunter.
Correct. 2-1. Now we're talking. Come on, guys.
Dear me. Neil Taylor.
No, I'm afraid not. There we are. Well done, Rod. Another win. I think House is still winless against you, Rod, which is impressive.
It's the mind games, I think. I think he's subconsciously, there's some sort of mind games going
on. You're in your own head. You're in your own head about this, House. It's nothing to do with me.
I tell you what, though. That was pretty
pathetic, that one. Teams with their bogey sides. I'm Kaus's bogey side, I think.
Can we have the team, please, Ryan? Because I'm interested to hear it.
In goal, Lewis Price.
Christ.
Which must have been one of his last appearances for Wales. Chris Gunter, which we did have, didn't we? Adam Matthews, who was replaced by Sam Ricketts in the 75th minute. So unlucky there, Kaus. Ashley Williams, his central defensive partner. Of course, the one and only Darcy Blake. In midfield, a versatile trio of Joe Allen, Andrew Crofts and David Vaughan. And then up front, Bellamy, Steve Morrison and Hal Robson-Kanu.
Jesus, Steve, the shift Morrison.
Steve Morrison. Jack Collison, Sam Vokes, Danny Gabardon, Joe Ledley, Earnshaw and Ricketts came off the bench. And do you know who was referee that night? Anyone want to take a stab at it?
God.
Christ. Clive Griffiths.
It was Howard
Webb. Yeah, Jeff Winter.
It was Howard Webb. Which is fine. Right, let's do some questions before we wrap up then. Andrew Dowland asking the all-important question this week. Who's harder, the north or south of Wales? We don't need to include mid-Wales because technically Powys doesn't exist. Amen, brother. Rod, you'll be representing the south. Kaus representing the north. Who'd win in a scrap? The best of the south versus the best of the north?
Yeah, I think a more interesting scrap would be east v west, to be honest with you. Because you've got more kind of countryside. Josh Skins over in West Wales.
I was going to say, it would be there'd be a language barrier as well between East and West.
There'd be all the sort of different fight calls being
If you were splitting Wales down the middle vertically, then definitely West, because you get all the complete lunatics in like Bangor, Carnarvon, Gwynedd area. And then the lunatics
in. You've got a Newport and Drill to factor in the East as well.
That's true.
In Wales, it's just full of complete lunatics, isn't it?
One thing we Wales can all agree on, every fucking corner of Wales has lunatics.
I don't know.
Fuck being a policeman in Wales.
Let's not bloody divide Wales now. Come on, we're supposed to be one Wales.
Yeah,
this is
come on, what's down in Wales?
Yeah.
Ask us about biscuits or fucking, I don't know, just
The valleys, bloody hard nuts in the valleys, I gotta say. Then again, where's the hardest place in North Wales, would you say, Kaus? Where would you least like to go for a scrap?
Probably somewhere like Holyhead, to be honest.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
they're a different breed in Holyhead, let me tell you.
A lot of coastal areas in North Wales, isn't there? That's got a bit of rough and ready reputation.
The old salt air makes them.
Well, that's one to ponder on anyway. I'm sure there's yeah. lots
you tell us, you tell us, Dowling.
You tell us, yeah. Right, another bit of trivia now. The Podfather, Alan March, he has asked us a couple of questions. What year did the following happen? You both, I'll have you both say an answer, and then I'll give you whether they're correct or not. Armenia 2, Wales 2. Anyone want to go first? Rod, what do you reckon?
2000.
House, what do you think?
Well, sorry, I don't understand the question.
What year did Wales 2, Armenia 2 happen?
Oh, right, okay. 2000 sounds about right. I'm just going to go different. I'll go 2001.
And you'd be correct to do so, Kaus. Well done. 1-0 to you. What year did Turkey 6, Wales 4 happen? Kaus, you want to go first?
Yeah, go on. I believe it was... I'm gonna go 98.
Rod?
97.
Correct. Well done, Rod. 1-1. Yeah. What year was Robert Page born? Rod?
Yeah.
What year was Robert Page born?
Oh, bit of a different angle on the question. I'd say 68. No, that's weight. No, yeah, fuck it, 68.
House?
I'll go 70.
No points for either of you. 1974 was the answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
He
was bald when he was like 21 then.
Yeah, I think he was bald straight out the womb and never grew any hair.
It's fair play to him.
Fair play. Right, Kaus, when was the first Welsh Cup final?
Oh, that is a very good one. I'm going to go... Well, the FAW was formed in 1876, but I don't think there was a Welsh Cup till quite a long time after that. I'll go 1888.
Rod?
Oh, fuck knows. 1894, I'll go for.
1878, within 2 years of it starting.
Oh, yeah.
Third oldest cup competition in the world.
Mm. Yeah.
What's the 1 and 2?
FA Cup England, and Scotland. Scottish Cup, I guess. The Scottish, probably second.
Guess it, now. Come on. Yeah. No, fair. Yeah.
England and Costa
definitely
Rica.
FA Cup.
The Liberian Cup.
but for a few years, Scottish teams played in the FA Cup as well. So I don't know if it's definitely Scottish Cup. Who knows? Anyway, doesn't matter. Forget him. Last one.
Yeah.
Rod, when was the League of Wales founded?
Bad podcasting there.
I know.
Yeah, I don't have a fucking clue, to be honest. In this modern format or just in general? Because
there was no Welsh league before this.
No, obviously, yeah.
They all
I'm going to go. I'm going to say 91.
House.
92.
Correct. Well done. You've won that one this week, House. Well done.
I was hoping Rods was going to go for something outlandish like 1936 or something.
No, I knew it was like more recent, but I thought, was it quite in the 80s? But then I thought, no, if I go too far back, I look really stupid. Like, yeah, but
Have either of you ever seen that for the first game in the League of Wales? I think it was Abed against Caersus or something.
Yeah,
and it's just absolutely fucking amazing. The footage. It's just brilliant.
Yeah. I'll have to try and dig it out. That's one of my YouTube algorithms these days is old footage from like the League of Wales back in the mid-90s, Cumbrian Town and all that.
Yeah. It's weird. What happened in the early 90s? Because obviously the Champions League, the Premier League, the League of Wales, like something must have happened at that time that everything was sort of started again. It's when football started, wasn't it?
UEFA started the Champions League and stuff, didn't they? I think that was 92, was it?
Yeah, so it must have been because of that. And
yeah,
Wales
and they insisted if Wales wanted to have a national team,
yeah,
they had to have a national league. So
yeah, There we are. Bit of history for you. Right, on to the important questions. Paul Burns watched a certain person doing a food review from inside his car yesterday. My question is, what is going on with the seat pattern in said car? And would a certain person like to answer that?
Come on, Rods. I wasn't actually working in the factory that built my car, I've got to be honest. So I had very little say on the design process. But I got this car on a finance deal, and it was pretty cheap. So I didn't really give a shit about patterns of seats or anything like that. So,
you're not planning on reupholstering it or whatever?
Yeah, bloody exhibiting.
I might try and get Winston Wolfe from Pulp Fiction to try and rearrange my upholstery in the car. So
there we are, Paul. I hope that answered your question. Ben Price, after his revelations of how he can guess people's toothpastes last week, followed up with a completely different question this week. Just thought I'd remind him that it was really weird that he knew what toothpaste Megan used. Are you creeping in her bathroom, Ben? That's not for me to say. He says, I have a strong dislike for Birmingham City. No particular reason. I just don't like their ground, their badge, their fans, or the city itself. What football clubs do you have a strong dislike for that aren't a rival and you don't really have any reason to dislike them? Rod, anyone you just dislike for some reason?
There's a few, but maybe I don't know if there's usually a good reason. Forest, I don't really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Derby. Both
Yeah,
them
Derby.
Teams.
I fucking hate Derby. Yeah. They're probably my answer.
There's the obvious ones I don't like, but that's not interesting at all. Like your Man U's and all them. But I think there might be a random one somewhere. Go to Cows, I'll have a think. But I can't. Yeah, those are the first two that popped in my head. Forest and Derby.
Cows.
I was just going to say, I've spent a lot of time in that sort of area recently watching Wrexham, and that accent has to be the worst accent in England. Nottinghamshire.
You're right, Duck.
Sort of.
I don't even think I can recall it. That I don't think I could do an impression of it.
Well, I tell you who's got the quintessential Notts accent is fucking Lee Anderson.
Oh, so God, that yeah. That prick.
It's a horrible. It's like a mix of Brummy and like Yorkshire.
Yeah,
it's like somewhere
yeah.
Somewhere in between. It's
just geographically, Cows, it is somewhere in between.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah, so it
Yorkshire. Makes perfect sense.
I don't really like the Notts clubs, really. They were scabs, weren't they, in the miners' strike? So, like Rob said, I've always got some sort of reason. I don't think I dislike anyone based on nothing. The clubs I sort of like, dislike are like. Like Lazio because they're Nazis. And then in the UK, like
Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers. Just the Brexit clubs, basically, like Rangers,
Luton,
Millwall.
Yeah,
Chelsea.
Millwall.
Yeah, Luton disgraced themselves yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't really mind West Ham, though. To be honest,
no.
I don't mind West Ham. I know they've.
There's one, and I got to apologize to our friend Gerach Lyle, but for some reason I really didn't like Norwich for a while.
Yeah,
they don't come into my thinking much now, but for a while I just don't know what it was. They used to wind me up because they had all these like celebrity fans, I think, and it was like everyone on the sports channels were all Norwich fans, like that Dan something and
Dan Walker, Simon Thomas,
Jake Humphrey.
They've got a disproportionate amount of like notable fans for the.
There was something about that. I just wound me up. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, but
yeah.
And Stephen Fry, Gerach Lyle.
But there was all. I think there was also a period of time where they just signed all of Leeds' best players.
Beckier, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and gave you Storm. Stephen Morrison,
yeah. But they signed a few of them. And so there's obviously a reason behind all my dislike for sides, really, deep down. And I think if Ben's honest with himself, he's got a reason for his dislike of most things.
There's a few like nothing clubs that like I don't really have. I almost don't like them because I don't have anything against them or like for them, like Reading, Fulham.
Yeah.
They're all just sort of like a bit nothing-y.
Yeah. Reading's a good example, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, like Birmingham City, it's not a bad shout, Birmingham City, because like Birmingham City should be a big, big club with a big fan base, but their crowds are almost always like rubbish, considering they're in a city with just one other club. They're in a city of over 1 million people. And yet they can't, like, they just scrape 20,000.
Shocking. Obviously, Villa are the big dogs, aren't they?
Oh, Villa are massive. But, you know, I know you've got West Brom and Wolves just up the road. But, I think Birmingham are quite poorly supported, to be honest.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Nathan Davis, Naughty Nath, says, who's the worst signing of all time for Cardiff, Leeds and Wrexham? Now, I think we could probably do a podcast in itself about some of the stinkers. Kaus, any quick standout names for you?
I'll give you two, because I could give you 25, but I'll give you two. Mahita Malongo. Fucking hell, he was bad. We signed him on loan. He's now the head of the PFA. He's on £500,000 a year.
Wow.
But he came, he played a cup game and he came on and he hit the ball over the cop three times in a row with three shots. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And the other one was, because we had such high hopes for him because he was amazing on Football Manager, but he turned out to be horrendous, was Cherno Samba.
Oh, yeah.
Football Manager legend, Championship manager.
He was absolutely shocking. So, I could go on all night, to be honest.
Rod? Worst Leeds signings?
Well, you mentioned the worst deal they ever did was the Becchio swap for Morrison, because that was just didn't make sense. And Warnock said at the time they'd be building statues of Steve Morrison outside Elm Road. Like, what the fuck's he on about? Unless they accidentally took concrete all over him. There's a few humdingers. Like, there's obviously last season they signed a load of shite.
Yeah.
Back in the day they signed Seth Johnson for $7 million and he was like chronically injured. And that was like the height of Peter Ridsdale's insanity.
Yeah.
Spending all his money. But then two that jump out to me is the summer they signed Kevin Nichols from Luton.
Right.
Made him captain and then he cried because he wanted to go back to Luton after about a month. And to sign him, they sold a player they signed the month before, David Livermore. So so they signed David Livermore and then a month later said, nah, fuck, we don't want you on your bike. So they're the two that summer was a bit of a...
Yeah.
But you can't get past signing David Hockaday as your manager as probably the worst decision any club's ever made.
That was a shocker, yeah.
Swindon Supermarine coach.
That's up there with them. With Wrexham hiring head of foot golf as their manager.
Brian Hughes, yeah.
Cardiff-wise, we've had plenty of shockers. Trying to think, we spent big money on some shit over the years, like Gary Medin, $6 million, didn't score a goal for us.
Underground Fight Club.
Yeah. Andreas Cornelius.
Allegedly.
Andreas Cornelius was a good signing at the wrong time. He went on a decent career.
I was going to say, he's gone on to do well, hasn't he? So,
yeah, we just got promoted to the Premier League and we bought like a project, like a striker who wasn't going to be score goals instantly.
Wasn't it like a Scandinavian project?
Yeah, well, obviously everyone who came in under Solskjaer pretty much was abysmal. Joe Inga Birgit, I think he had a little good run with Celtic, actually, afterwards. Magnus Wolf Ikram. There's some absolute stinkers.
These sound like gold characters.
Guido Bergstaller had a good run at Schalke afterwards. He went on and did well in the Bundesliga, so who knows? Iwan Redan on loan from Twente. I don't even know where I picked that one from. That was, Eddie Johnson. That was a classic when we signed him on loan.
Like you said, I think you, me and Kaus could do our own kind of list of 100 players for each of these sides.
Jay Lloyd Samuel on a free. Actually, probably in like January we signed
him. Story that.
Tell you what, another Wrexham shout, Ian Rush.
Yeah, and Leeds.
Awful.
Ian Rush, George Graham played him on the wing at Leeds. He was like 38.
Oh,
I mean, like, Ian Rush was only ever good for just putting it in the net. Like, yeah. Why would you put him on the wing? What sense does that make?
I just remembered when Leeds signed Thomas Brolin and he turned up like 18 stone back in the after he had a good Euros than he in the early 90s. That was like the first season I got interested in football, and I remember how much they slated him. He had a shocking time.
He was
a good footballer.
He was enjoying the buffet too much at the Thistle hotels that he was staying at.
Right, we need to wrap up because I need to go soon. Like I said, we could be here all day. Great question, Nate. Great question.
Yeah, it is.
Simple question here for the 94th minute. What's your favourite crisp flavour? I want 4-4-2 answers here, boys, for a 4-4-2 question.
Pickled onion.
Rod, Kaus.
Brannigan's ham and mustard.
Okay, black pepper and salt, black pepper, whatever it's called.
Salt and pepper.
Mike, really good question here about what supermarkets are like Welsh players that I'm going to have to save for next week because we don't have the time because I want to do that in depth. We've got one from Lady Pix. You said, did you get any trick-or-treaters last week? I wasn't in the house on Halloween, so I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't in the country.
Yeah.
I'm currently living in a caravan in the middle of nowhere, so if I did get any trick-or-treaters, they would have scared the
fuck
out of me.
It'd be terrifying.
That would be super spooky.
Yeah.
There we are. Haunting.
And finally, it is the Boosh. He says, in Xanadu did Kublai Khan a pleasure dome erect. Moving on, keep moving on, yeah. Moving at 1 million miles an hour. Opt out Liverpool beat combo. Frankie goes to Hollywood. I've just had a flake. Yum. So what's your favourite little indulgence or pleasure? Go on, spoil yourself. Rod, what's your favourite little indulgence or
smack.
Pleasure?
I was gonna say. I know it's a little bit naughty, and it can be a bit Moorish, but I like a bit of smack.
Genuine answer is.
Genuine answer, MDMA.
Yeah. Don't know. Kinder Bueno.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. White one. Yeah.
House.
I always have. They're dead expensive, but I can't help buying them because they're so nice. The Reese's Pieces.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Really nice.
Yeah. Some variety
cocaine
of Mr. Variety. Kipling. Yeah, some variety of Mr. Kipling cake. You know, those lemon
French
spices.
French fancies, mate.
Yeah, I tell you Viennese what's out Wills. Now, which I'm trying to... Viennese Wills good. Which I'm trying to stay away from is... festive fancies, which are like the white ones, or they are called frosted fancies or festive fancies. I don't know. Anyway, good. Christmas chocolate season. Bad news. Anyway, I've got to go and play five aside. So we'll leave it there for tonight. There is a couple of questions you haven't answered. Apologies for missing out on them. I'll go back and answer a few next week. Rod, any closing statements from you before we wrap up?
No, nothing at all. You get down to the five side and look after that leg of yours now. There's only one crutches out in Armenia. So look after yourself.
Always. Kaus.
I was gonna say, mate, is this one of your first five sides in a while?
I've played 4 weeks now at London Welsh Centre with some of the boys there, which has been great. So lovely to get back on the pitch. I'm feeling good. I think, if anything, I've improved as a player, Kaus, which is good.
Have you?
All it took was a devastating fracture of your ankle.
Yeah, I've got a bionic ankle now. I can actually use my left foot all of a sudden. It's like, you know those people who have like a stroke and wake up with like a Chinese accent? I think I had a leg break and I've woken up from the surgery with some semblance of football talent.
Ferenc Puskas.
Yeah. Yeah. So
how much do they charge you each in London? About 40 quid each for an hour.
Let's not talk about how much I pay an hour.
I bet it's about 15 quid, isn't it?
Well, no, I pay £6.50 a week with the London Welsh Centre.
Oh, that's not
which,
bad.
Which is a bit
that's
more. £2.50 a week we pay in Bridgend. But and I went to the London Welsh Centre for the first time afterwards the other day, which was absolutely lovely. If you've never been, boys, it's a nice little venue. But there we are, rambling now. Kaus, you've got something to plug. Roy Kiffin has said, make sure you plug Tommy's fundraiser. Do you want to tell us a bit about it before we wrap up?
Oh, yeah. Christ, yeah. It's a good job Roy remembers, because I didn't fucking remember what he's going on about then. Good man, Roy. Also, I probably upset Roy with my comments about Birmingham, because I think he's got sympathies for Birmingham City. So he's done a nice thing for me, and I've just slagged off a club he likes. I'm doing Movember. I have had a head start. I know you're supposed to go clean shaven on the first, but I thought it'd be a terrible waste to, undo all the hard work, making myself look like a complete fucking nonce in recent times. I've kept it. And, it'd be great if you could donate, because it's, towards men's cancer charities and mental health, etc. So I think that's something we could all get behind.
And that's all on your social media, yeah?
Exactly. It's all over social media. And, just donate. If it's not to me, donate to anyone who's doing it. So that'd be great. Thanks for that, Roy. Appreciate that.
I did enjoy Mies Tashwedd. That really tickled me.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Rod, super on the spot. Do you want to pick a track to play us out if you've got one? While I say thank you very much to everyone who's been involved in the magazine over the last year, because we got nominated for an FSA award, which is pretty exciting. Going to a nice big dinner in London with the great and the good of the world of football, which will be very exciting. But
Are you not concerned, right, that that's the same acronym as the Financial Standards Authority, and this could be a sting operation?
Well, there'd be no money for them to find, let me tell you that. Go buy a magazine if you haven't already, because it's clearly good enough for the Football Supporters Association rather than the Financial Standards Agency or whatever they are. Rod, have you got one?
I haven't got anything that is relative to Welsh music.
Just say it out loud. Whatever.
I've just got, because John Cale's in at the Velvet Underground. Let's just go for them.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, any one
Sunday
of their
Sunday
morning.
Lovely. Yeah, great lovely. Shout. Good stuff. Okay. Right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, boys. We'll be back next week for what will be our Armenia and Turkey preview pods, which is exciting. So all the best. Have a good week. Just keep being Welsh, man. Bye.
Keep on trucking. It's all